The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
All year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is hour two, Chuck Oliver Show on this Thursday. Hour two was fun. We talked Tennessee in sort of a wide-ranging conversation with Wes Rucker from Go Vols 247. And part of it was Josh Heupel trying to deflect attention to his players ahead of the NFL draft, which is about the best thing Josh Heupel could do, because here is where most of the truth lies. Josh Heupel's really good calling plays, and his offense got to have some talent, and you added some SEC talent to then defeat SEC-level players. But offensively, his X's and O's kind of do help you be the best, you know, whoever you are. It helps you. That's why I have been fully transparent. If we're entering November and Tennessee's out of it in the East, then, and anything can happen. Now, Tennessee could enter the Georgia game with one conference loss. We know how that goes from there. They have a great 3 hours, and suddenly they're in Atlanta, and Georgia's looking around going, what? So that could happen. They're good enough. Like Kentucky, even when we've had years, seasons, when we expected the Cats to be really good, I never had visions of how they were going to get through the Dogs and represent the East. It always kind of ended in the recent seasons when Kirby's got Georgia looking this way, and then even Stoops when he's had Kentucky looking their best selves. Tennessee, this is different. They can beat Georgia on a Saturday. And if they happen to lose against Georgia, they could take advantage if Georgia drops too. They lost to South Carolina and Auburn. How in the world did that happen? Tennessee's fan, like, I don't care how it happened. It did. We beat them and we're not even. Yeah, I know. That's happened. It's happened. So that's about to stop happening, but it has happened, and there's another chance it could. But that's where Tennessee lives, and a lot of, and I've said, if I'm wrong about this, if they get to November and it's not a repeat 2 years ago, man, how exciting was it? We were up there. Dan, did you make the trip to Knoxville 2 years ago?
I did.
Wow, that was so much fun, and the excitement. The first time around, even when like it clearly has shifted, everything about the program has shifted, and you're still staring at a Mount Everest, but you kind of think you know what you're building to. That was two Novembers ago. That's what they kind of thought. And they hit a big play to Bayless Jones early in that game too. But the better team by far won, and so that's how it should have turned out. But you've got that game if you're Tennessee. What if you get to the beginning of November and in you look at the standings, you're like, yeah, that game doesn't really matter. Tennessee could have a magical Saturday. It could be Joe Hardy, where Josh Heupel disappears in the middle of the fourth quarter, and they beat Georgia 72-3. That could be the Saturday at the end of the season, and Tennessee still finishes third in the division. That's how bad 2023 unfolded. Injury here, and all of that stuff could happen. And it will, in some way, be traced to the fact that you have a different quarterback. And even with Josh Heupel being there and the old OC, well, it wasn't really the OC. It's different now. There is a guy in the room with way more input into quarterback and game plan and anything else on offense who wasn't there last year. So it'll be different. And I have said, yep, I understand, acknowledge all of it, don't care. Offensively, I don't know how Tennessee season is going to go. I think I know how they're going to be offensively. So Josh Heupel was having to defend that ahead of the draft. He's trying to pimp his guys so that they can get better contracts. No, it wasn't me. Cedric Tillman, he's tough. He came back from injury, and he produced, and he's an old man compared to some of these other kids. And so he's just good, good, good kid. Love me some Cedric Tillman. Boy, is he mature. And Yeah, but Josh, your offense. Nope. No. Mm-mm. And so I sit here and go, yeah, some of that's true. Also, the in-state bone throw, and this is something I've talked about, and I don't think I'm going to be wrong here, but I have seen Auburn play, for instance, either Alabama A&M or Alabama State, or maybe they played both. I want to see games against South Alabama and Troy and anybody else who plays Division I football. In the state of Georgia, Georgia Southern started playing in the early 80s. Georgia, or maybe they had some football way back, and then they had football. And a guy named Irk Russell went down to Statesboro, and he started football, and they won a couple of national championships at the 1AA level. And then they started playing big-time opponents, and they would play Florida, and they played Florida State, and they didn't play Georgia. And then after a long while, Georgia scheduled Georgia Southern. I thought that was a big deal. Throw the in-state bone. And Tennessee has not thrown the in-state bone to Memphis football-wise in a while. And basketball, because of COVID and a game they had, there's all kinds of stuff. Go back and you can Google it, and Barnes and Penny aren't probably going to go have wings together anytime soon. But they were at the big Tennessee Vol Big Orange Tour, I think they call it. And so they have all the coaches of the programs that you really pay attention to on this tour. And Barnes and Heupel both asked about playing Memphis, which I think is a tremendous idea. You do know Memphis's entry into Tennessee football history is the only non-conference game Peyton Manning ever lost. Lost at the Liberty Bowl to Memphis, I think. Dan checked up. So Memphis, they're in state and they're trying to play big-time ball and no bone throw. And when I asked about it, Josh Heupel was like, oh, yeah, I know, Ryan. I've seen him at coaches' clinics. That wasn't what you were asked. Do you want to play Memphis? Always a fan. Arkansas has got that thing, too, with Arkansas Pine Bluff and Arkansas Little Rock. And for the longest time, no, we will not play you. That was Mississippi State not only playing Southern Miss, I want to say with Dak. I think Dan Mullen and Dak Prescott rolled into Hattiesburg one night and played Southern Miss. Whereas Ole Miss, as I am recalling, and if there's a Rebels fan, and I'm wrong about this, I apologize. But as I'm recalling, it was a hard no, hard pass with a little bit of attitude. Southern Miss? No, that won't happen. I asked Dan one time to call a very high-profile guest. Dan got a chuckle. That won't be happening. That's dismissive is what that is. Dan Mullen's like, if it saves us having to pay out and we got more money for this other stuff in the budget, yeah, we'll play at South Alabama. We'll play at Southern Miss. As I recall, hard pass out of Oxford with a little bit of attitude. That won't be happening. I think that's what I remember. And I'm just not a fan of it. You're not risking anything. You're not threatening anything. What you're doing is giving everybody a better Sunday morning at church in the parking lot. Even the fans of the team that lost. I promise you, does LSU play Louisiana Lafayette much? They played Northwest. That's a 1AA squad. I am always a proponent of the in-state program that there I have not. It's a big deal. And so we talked some of that as well with Wes Rucker and Tyler McComas, who will be hosting this show on Tuesday, came on talking, first of all, mostly defense. We talked the fact that Oklahoma, of all schools, got a shortage of game-ready wide receivers. They have exactly two guys coming back last year who caught 100 yards in passes last season. Two. So that is a cupboard's bare, man. We're starting from scratch. True freshman, what do you got? No, wait a minute. I was listening to the Chuck Oliver show online. He said that wide receiver is kind of really tough to break in. Running back's not, but wide receiver's tough. Mm-hmm. What do you got? Oh, okay. So that's where we are? Yeah, that's where we are. So we talked wide receivers a little bit. Mostly talked defense and the fact that they do not have pass rush. And so when you gin it up, that means you have to run a lot more man, which they don't really have the secondary and the depth of corner to do that. So it's just a combination of things. And Brent Venables is up in the talent, but Brent Venables needs to up the talent. Because it is this just math equation of this plus this plus this plus this equals, I'm not certain your defense is going to be, you may be more talented and help's on the way and we're building and whatever, which would be great if this was the depth chart in 2008 and we could project to 9, 10, and 11. I can't project to next spring. I can't project to the end of the season. Oklahoma's going to, it's like everybody else, they'll have guys jump in the portal in November, even though nothing to do other than, oh, I can visit on game day. Yet, or they'll announce they are going to enter the portal and they'll leave the program. So he's trying to bring in talent, and it should be, I don't know, and the talent should be higher this year than it was in 2022, or certainly what he inherited coming off the 21 season. And I can't tell you that the results will be better, because if you're playing a bunch of young guys who you may have to try to convince them to stay in the program, then the results get even dicier. But you're kind of setting the stage to enter the SEC without like a giant punch on the way out the door. But you also have to have the reality that football for real, it re-begins in Norman and Austin in 2024. So that is the look ahead for Venables and everybody in involved really with the Sooner program. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, Trey Biddy's going to be here. We're going to talk Hogs, and that's good. He's part of hogsports.com. He's the publisher there, been that way for 2 decades at 247. In the bottom of the hour, good friend Sonny Shipp's going to stop in from Baton Rouge as we discuss everything happening with the Tigers. That's coming up the rest of the show. Chuck Oliver Show on this Thursday.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It is a Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show, dealing out your college talk. 9 states, 60 sticks. Thank you all for the blessing. Appreciate it. Just peel up my roof and just pour it all in. There is a very small subset of head coaches in college football who there truly is no market for outside of where they are right now. I said Ed Orgeron, like literally he's walking off the field with confetti, like purple and gold confetti falling. And I said two things. He's about to get an extension and there is no reason possible. Nobody is coming for Ed Orgeron. It's not because he's not a, you know, can't be a head coach. Obviously he could be, but he had to be there to be a successful head coach. There's just something about it. I think Sam Pittman's the same thing. He won 9 games at Arkansas. Arkansas won 9 games. He was the head coach a year ago. Before the 22 season, he got a new contract through 2026. Now, I know we do this for recruiting, we say, and all that other stuff. That's silliness. How many recruits plan to be at a school for the next 5 years, and I want to make sure the coach is under contract? They don't plan to be there next year. So Sam Pittman got a contract. I looked at that. That is the least needed contract extension in history. There's no market for Sam Pittman, and I think he has to be there to succeed. And I couldn't criticize it because that's just what you do. Want to welcome on now. We're going to talk about all manner of the Arkansas program and big picture where they're headed. Good friend of ours. Always appreciate his time. Hog Sports. That's him. It's Trey Biddy. Trey, how was your Thursday?
It's going good. Thanks for asking. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I appreciate it. Sam Pittman, I'm such a huge fan of him. And what he's done almost, you know, overnight, it's just a really different competitive thing there at Fayetteville. And I'm a big fan of him as a person as well. And I've known him, like, on the periphery a little bit for a while since he was in Athens. He got a contract extension, and I'm sitting here, I'm criticizing the theory of it, but I know it's just what you do. Talk about Sam's profile in the coaching game and how attractive you would think. And, like, is there any market for Sam Pittman anywhere other than Arkansas?
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, we all know in college football these days, after 2 years, you either get an extension and a raise or they fire you. I mean, that's just how it is. He'll be up for another contract extension after this season or they'll fire him, you know, one or the other. But it's interesting how you mentioned that because, yeah, I think that, first of all, Sam Pittman wasn't getting hired as a head coach anywhere other than Arkansas due to his past at Arkansas and just the situation Arkansas was in. But it's interesting because you see all over the country when coaches or when fans are talking about a new hire, new possibility at coach. A lot of times you see we need somebody like Sam Pittman. So it's kind of interesting. You know, Shane Beamer is a good example over at South Carolina. May not have been a big head coach candidate at a lot of places, but South Carolina had been there, understood the culture, and things like that. Now, if Sam Pittman were like express interest in leaving Arkansas, I think maybe there would be some suitors out for him. But at the time being hired, no, I don't know that there was another option for him. And, you know, he's stated several times that Arkansas will be his last job as a coach. He'll retire, whether he retires on his own or he gets fired. He's said that before since he's got to Arkansas. So, yeah, I mean, in one way, not really a needed contract, but at the same time, you want to make sure that, you know, guys know that you're taking care of them and keeping pace with the rest of the schools in the SEC.
All right. You did not get assigned to the Arkansas beat. You come by it honest. So you were there when Dan Enos was his first go around. I don't know him. I've interacted with him a few times, but that's, you know, hundreds of guys. So I'm saying that up front. I don't know him. He has a reputation of a guy who is got some hard bark on him, that he is not the most personable dude in the world. Is that an accurate reflect? And that can be fine. Not everybody's, you know, you don't have 10 best friends on the coaching staff. Talk sure. about his interaction and working with KJ Jefferson, because I found that kid to be pretty personable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't had that experience with Dan. He's always been, you know, friendly. You know, there are some times where he would come off the practice field and almost seemed like he just didn't want to talk in a press conference back in the day when we would talk to coordinators more. I don't know if that was exhaustion or what, but heck, at the same time, people always talk about Bobby Petrino and him being a nightmare for media and stuff. I had a great relationship with Bobby Petrino. I appreciate that he showed up at 11:59 for a noon press conference every single time, you know. Maybe my perception is different on coaches, but I thought Bobby Petrino was, personable enough. But Dan, to me, he's got a good reputation as a quarterback developer.
Yes.
Back in 2015 when he first got to Arkansas, Brandon Allen was the quarterback. I had like a 128, 130 efficiency rating. There was some talk about maybe he has a possibility at the next level. I think he threw for 2,200 yards. And then Dan Enos comes in, and Brandon Allen put up the most efficient season as a Razorback in history. That's back in 2015. Brandon Allen's still in the NFL as a backup quarterback. Whereas before, you know, he was kind of viewed as maybe, I don't know, a lot of the own fans were against him.
Oh, absolutely.
Also played a role with the development of Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Talia Tagovailoa in Maryland, Mac Jones also. He coached Mac Jones as well. He's got a pretty long list of guys also dating back to his days at Michigan State. That he coached, that he developed into NFL quarterbacks. And that's really where I think he can make this impact. Arkansas averaged 471 yards a game last year on offense. That wasn't the reason that they struggled to seven wins in 2022. It was more the defense. Where I think that he can help KJ a lot is in the technical side of things. Jefferson, probably the biggest criticism on him has been his, you know, intermediate passing game, short passes. They hit the mark. He was 68%, but maybe not a perfect throw every time. And that was something he had to develop when he got to Arkansas. He kind of had a hitch in his throwing motion. Wasn't a quarterback that grew up with like a personal trainer and, you know, personal quarterback coach and all that stuff. Still was a four-star recruit just based on potential, but he had to correct some things. And that started with the first coaching staff at Arkansas. His development has been really impressive to watch. And we'll see if Dan Enos can take him to the next level. I don't know if he's going to be the play caller as good as Kendall Browse or better, but as far as the technical aspects of developing a quarterback, I think that's where he'll really benefit KJ.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and talk about the kid and his health as well, his condition, but Quincy McAdoo's kid that I'm a little excited about. And then, I don't know, was it a week ago? I was like, oh man, a car wreck where everybody says, like all fronts say, no, he's going to be fine. But that was a kid who had just gotten on some radars.
Yeah, 10 or 11 days ago, I think 11 days ago on a Monday morning, he had a really bad accident, like a rollover accident. And to my knowledge, he's still at the hospital. So it's not life-threatening injuries, but I would say it sounds like he might be questionable this season.
My goodness.
Bad stuff. So, yeah, hopefully that's not the case.
I had seen, you know, everybody said he's going to be fine, non-life-threatening, he's going to get out of this. But I had not seen a lot of commentary about back on the field and depth chart as well. Right. He was kind of exciting player that had moved over to the secondary, and folks said he may be an answer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a guy that as a redshirt, or excuse me, as a true freshman, came into Arkansas as a wide receiver, and I don't even believe he was an early enrollee. And then six games into the season, they have to move him to defense because they've just been decimated with injuries in the secondary. I mean, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And, the last four games, he ended up starting for Arkansas at cornerback and was projected starter again this year. But, you know, a torn ACL is not life-threatening either, but it's something that could keep you out for the season. So, hopefully it's not too serious. But, talking about back stuff, you know, you never know what that could mean exactly.
All right, man. I appreciate you as always. Thanks for the insight.
Of course, Chuck, anytime.
All right, Trey Biddy, always like him coming on, Hog Sports publisher for more than two decades. It's a 247 outfit. So thank you there. Georgia and Kirby Smart are getting a full opportunity to prove what they're about. Because when you involve, in a lot of cases, teenagers, they'll push you. And they'll ignore reality. And I mentioned earlier in the week with Iowa and Iowa State that the best way to give your program a chance to avoid gambling scandals with scholarship athletes is to try to educate and get them to understand it really is a big deal. That's a challenge to get a teenager or 20, 21-year-old to understand it's a big deal. Georgia wide receiver Denylon Morissette arrested multiple charges. This had come out yesterday. That he had been arrested on multiple driving-related charges. Driving under the influence of drugs. Following too closely. Driving too fast for conditions. Was booked. Was arrested, actually, just after 3:30 a.m. on Monday. And booked into jail about 10 and bonded out just before noon for around $2,000. So he is another Georgia player. He is the fourth since the national championship game to be arrested, and the third on driving-related charges, and the second since the death of a teammate. So the message, it's legitimately being given, I promise you. Kirby and the program, they look around, it's like, folks, you're young, let's not lose anybody. And I mean from the best spot possible, they're saying that. Kids aren't listening because as is typical with an 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, understanding how serious it is a challenge.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I know it has to just be a vision in my mind, but I have this idea, and I'll talk as if it's true, that there are a whole lot of Odell Beckhams who left LSU with like 81 career catches and then caught more than that their rookie season in the NFL. And I don't know if that's right. He jumped clean over the boat and left me out there with nothing but a rod. I don't know if that's true or not. I know Foster Moreau played four seasons of varsity football, a lot of special teams at LSU, but four seasons, and he caught 52 passes. played four seasons in the NFL. He caught 91 passes. Like, all right, that's another one in the corner with, I don't know, I think Dwayne Bowe and Early Doucette, I think. So he's way more productive than cancer. So that'll slow you in your tracks. Well, I was expecting the next headline I saw regarding Foster Moreau, former LSU tight end. I thought the next headline, I would have just been happy with Foster Moreau cancer-free. Headline I got was brother getting paid. Like, brother getting broke off. And he gets to go home. $12 million to go play for the Saints. That is the latest that I understand. We're going to talk LSU, but I just want to mention it because Foster Moreau, good for him if that's really kind of the outcome. I want to welcome on from 247. It is Sonny Shipp. Sonny, how's your Thursday?
Chuck, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good, Sonny. Appreciate you coming on. Talk Foster Moreau, and is that it? 3 years, $12 million to the Saints, and that's like a month after, hey, Foster, we saw something. That's got to be the biggest turnaround in 30 days possible.
Yeah, and the physical that diagnosed the or that led to the cancer diagnosis was with the Saints too, and so you know, for all of that to come full circle, and $8 million of it is guaranteed, I believe is what I heard, and you know, that's obviously big news for him, but the truly big news is that there's even talk that he could be ready to play this year. Due to the treatment that he's going, and what the doctors are forecasting as far as his treatment plan goes, and the way that his body has reacted to it. So, you know, that's just great news all the way around for that young man. I can only imagine has to just be just devastating news.
Yeah, it's just a tremendous turnaround. So good for him. And he's, like I said, he's back. He's producing more on Sundays. He was like, no, really, I could have done this in Baton Rouge too. All right, let's talk recruiting and Brian Kelly. And I'm not talking about, recruiting some kid from, you know, Bessemer. This is college football players that Brian Kelly's looking at. And I believe it was earlier this week. I saw everybody's chasing a Rhode Island defensive back. And Antonio Carter and LSU was in the fray for that. And then also a kid from Coffeyville Community College, an offensive lineman, two kids out of the state of Florida originally that wound up where they wound up. Just talk either those kids or the portal in general. What is Brian Kelly? Because you're down to sniper season now, right? Like a couple of specific needs.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think they've kind of gotten past the crop of guys from Louisiana who went off and played ball elsewhere, or guys that they have, you know, strong ties to that they either coached at other places or whatnot. And so now, you know, like you had mentioned, it's all about trying to see, okay, can we fill those last few position needs that you have? And fortunately for LSU, and Brian Kelly has stated this, you know, you're not going out trying to find a starter. You're not even really going out necessarily trying to find someone who's an immediate, you know, plug-and-play guy into your two deep. You know, you're just trying to find guys that can bolster positions for you, that if something happens and other guys get hurt, then you're not having to throw a walk-on into the situation like LSU has had to done over the last few years. But, safety, I think safety, that's obvious, you know, that's definitely an area that you look at that they'd like to shore up. The interior of the offensive line, that's another area with only, you know, they've got 13 scholarship offensive linemen right now. And that's when Mason Lunsford, the Maryland transfer, hits campus within the next couple of weeks. So that's another area that they would like to shore up. And believe it or not, you don't think that LSU would be in the immediate need for a wide receiver, but they were, you know, they went all, they're in pursuit of Keon Coleman, the Michigan State transfer. I don't think that things are trending very well for them right now, but you know, that nothing is done as of right now. So, you know, that's another area when you look at the wide receiver position that is all about kind of bolstering positions now.
Can you mention Keon Coleman? This is an interesting thing. He is a big, big dude, and he produced last year. He caught 65 passes, so he's just a giant guy who looks like an NFL player, so I understand the interest. If you Google right now Keon Coleman transfer, you will see, I'm not kidding, a dozen fan sites, like fan bait, like whoever, you know, like, you know, 247 sites. With legitimate interest and reasons and belief that they're all getting the same one kid. It's a feeding frenzy around Coleman right now, like you said.
is. And that was kind of one, you know, that was one of the bigger ones that, you know, Logan Diggs is another one, the Notre Dame transfer that kind of pops up as, you know, once they hit the portal, it was like, you know, Trey Amos, the other kid out of Louisiana who just committed to Alabama, another DB. You know, those three guys, once they hit, it was like, I mean, almost like, you know, they were up to reporting like 15, 20, 30 offers, 40 offers, just, you know, basically overnight once, you know, once coaches saw they were in. And I think that also gives you a good idea that, you know, the way the transfer portal works now is that kids don't enter and coaches say, oh, hey, look, Trey Amos is in the portal. No, a lot of these schools have had an indication for
absolutely.
A couple of weeks now that this was going to happen. And it's like, okay, well, you know, once he's officially in the portal, we officially offer, you know. So it's, you know, it's like you said, though, it's a feeding frenzy. And, you know, it's just it's only going to get wilder. You know, it's only going to get wilder because anything without legislation just, you know, just continues to fly off the boards.
Yeah. And, you know, what you said there, I'm kind of alluding to the way I put it is like we all live in the adult world, right? Like there are kids being nudged or urged or screamed at. Hey, if you enter the portal today, you will have an offer from fill in the blank giant Power Five program with two NIL deals tomorrow. Like that's a pretty scaled down version, but that's kind of what it's down to with some cases. Have you heard things like that?
Oh yeah, okay. I don't think there's any question about it.
I haven't.
You know, I haven't sat down and talked with parents or kids, and they give me line out specifics like that, like you mentioned. But I mean, look, you know, that's it's happening, and even I'll even go a step further, and I think that it's not just, you know, you could have two NIL deals. I think it's like. Dollar amounts.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're an offensive lineman and come here.
As enticing as it can get, you know, as enticing as it can get. And I'm just glad, you know, it's actually refreshing for someone who's covered recruiting for, you know, going on 25 years now. It's refreshing that you can finally talk about it in open about kids getting paid.
Because
for so long it was such a taboo, and if you mentioned it on your message board that school X, Y, or Z, you know, reportedly, you know, was coming down to money or whatnot, oh man, people would get up in arms, and you know, you can't throw out allegations like that and whatnot. And so it's just finally refreshing that, like you had mentioned, we're all adults here. We can all now talk about things like adults.
Yeah, I was raised in the era where it was just, I was a sixth grader, and this goes back a long time now, but I think I was a fifth grader actually when Herschel Walker signed with Georgia. I heard about the bridge and the assistant coach and the uncle and the money, and like you can, like there's all kinds of stories that, and even like at that age, which is like 12 years old, I was like, seems like a good purchase to me. Now we can say, yep, and he got a deal with the barbecue joint. So there is no bag and there is no bridge anymore. Wrapping up, Sonny Shipp, I did want to ask you specifically, though, Logan Diggs, good-looking running back out of Notre Dame, as you mentioned, and he has not committed anywhere. Is that correct?
Yeah, he is not. He's taking official visits to Ole Miss and South Carolina. He's supposed to be at LSU this weekend. And I think that's going to be the visit that probably goes ahead and locks everything up. And, you know, you talk to folks around the LSU football program, and that's the one position that they feel that, you know, that some sources feel is really the key to them from going to, you know, from being a really, really good football team to kind of filling out that offense to kind of eliminate any question marks that may be there.
All right, brother. I appreciate you carving out some time today, Sonny. Thank you so much.
Chuck, I appreciate it, man. God bless, brother.
All right, Sonny Shipp, doing a great job again. Sonny Shipp 247, two-piece. Sonny Shipp 247. That is his Twitter handle, so go ahead and follow him there, and you can read him, as I said, at CBS Sports and all that means. I've been doing it for 25 years now. And just a real good job there. Yeah, but the transfer, Notre Dame, bunches of them. And they got on scholarship there. Not all of them handed out by Marcus Freeman. But Logan Diggs is a junior with 2 years, I believe, of eligibility remaining. And good-looking enough size. He's not like a tiny little guy, doesn't have a role. And you've seen where some of these guys have landed. It's like I mentioned, Lorenzo Styles landed at Ohio State. this isn't a program that necessarily over-recruited these guys. It's a program where you look at the depth chart and Sam Hartman shows up and Drew Pine, I think, made the right choice early. They had problems at quarterback last year. Was it necessarily all the quarterback? No. How do I know that? Because both of them left, Drew Pine, and like I said, he looked on the wall, saw writing. Looked over at Tyler Buckner, he's like, you really going to stay? And so Drew Pine said, Sam Hartman's not coming here to be the backup. He's the starter. So I'm leaving. So Drew Pine, he left back in, December. Tyler Buckner left the week after the spring game. It mattered not. When I say it wasn't the quarterback, I think they're good enough. Now, maybe desperation and sign of the times and everything else. But Drew Pine and Tyler Buckner, where did they land? Arizona State and Alabama. So, yeah, those are talented enough guys. Oklahoma got an offensive lineman from there. Notre Dame's like everybody else. Irish had a bunch of kids jump into the portal. And they had a kid land at Charlotte, and one kid landed Coastal Carolina. And so there were other outcomes. The majority of their – and by the way, the running back's going to be another one of those. And he's one of the – there are a few that are still uncommitted. I think there's four kids actually, that are uncommitted. But Logan Diggs is he's the biggest catch remaining. He's a game-ready Power 5 running back. And so he's still in the portal. And, you know, like Lane Kiffin's looking at him going, be my new Zach Evans. Come hang out. Quinshon Judkins got 16 touchdowns and he was new to the program. What about you? And he may not even know about Ulysses Bentley and the fact that there really is going to be a big role as long as that kid's healthy. So Logan Diggs looks around. He may love Ole Miss. So he's a big, big get. And has not announced. And so there's still two or three of these kids that you look at coming out of Notre Dame that are going to be in headlines. But they're like everybody else trying to maximize as much as possible. And he's taking his visits right now. We will break and we'll wrap up on this Thursday next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I think you could use another guy, and I think Trey Amos, having started two seasons there at Louisiana, I think that's big. To be able to bring him in, he's a really talented guy. I think he's got a chance to challenge to start. You know, they've got a lot of pieces there they can move around in that secondary, I think. But to be able to add a guy like him is really big.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. That's Rodney Orr, Tighter Insider, and he was on with Jox in Birmingham, their midday show. And he was talking about it. This is a big story. Trey Amos, who, as he said, started 2 years at Louisiana. And I will say, I'm just reading what's on the resume or not. He was not a first, second, or third team all-conference player. He had a lot of big programs after him. And so he decides he's going to transfer. Now, he's a good-looking player. And as he said, as Rodney said, he's played. And he commits to Alabama. I was like, wow, he must have. And I went and looked at the resume. I was like, okay, he looks okay. Alabama was hot for him. LSU was hot for him. Ole Miss was hot. A lot of people hot for him. And credit him. Oh, I'm a defensive back and I can go play for Nick Saban's program. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Tuscaloosa, how do I get there? Do you know who Trey Amos is? And I'm just kind of giving you an example to sort of think about, something to consider, something that just is not going to happen nearly as much anymore. Do you remember Zaven Collins? Folks, it was just 3 seasons ago. I think Zaven Collins is the best linebacker in college football. And dude was like big, like outside edge, sort of maybe on the line, maybe with a hand on the ground. Zaven Collins was a kid out of a simple place in Oklahoma without a lot of folks around. And he was very under-recruited, and Zaven Collins wound up at Tulsa. Zaven Collins grew to be 6'4", 260 pounds, and by his senior year, he was still at Tulsa, and he was the best linebacker in the game. And then he was a first-round draft pick, and boom, off to the NFL he goes. So, and he starts, and he's good, and he's big, and he's just a man. He's a good-looking linebacker. And like I said, a little bit of a throwback because he can thump. He's got size to him. He's not a 225-pound runaround guy. And that's fine as well. I'm saying that's not what Collins is. Zaven Collins would have never had – he would not have been a draft pick out of Tulsa. He would have never had the 2020 season at Tulsa. Zaven Collins was blowing up people in 2018 and 19 at Tulsa, and he would have transferred. And it would have been fine for him. But a kid from a place in Oklahoma you've never been, who took a scholarship to a school that you've never really paid attention to, like, that was his backyard. He put himself up for bid. And Zaven Collins, his final season, he played for Washington or Penn State. Or Mario Cristobal got him. Instead, he stayed at Tulsa, and he was the best linebacker in the game. He's a first-round draft pick, and now he plays in the NFL, and he looks really good in the NFL with the Arizona Cardinals, too. Would never happen. So that Trey Amos, pre-portal and transfer and everything else, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just stating a fact. The Raging Cajuns may be done having day one or day two NFL draft picks. They may be. The Demons from Northwestern State may be done. The Green Wave, they may not be celebrating many Mwelde Moores or Matt Fortes anymore. Because they're going to look around and go, I blew up at Tulane. Arizona, what do you got in name, image, likeness? And that can kind of work. So you're just going to have an absence of these guys because the story is, believe me, it's big and it's good for the kid and everybody else, I guess, everybody else except for Louisiana. But there is another story. Trey Amos is good for him, and Nick Saban apparently is good for him. He's not at Louisiana anymore. So they've got to go down. They're going to pluck somebody out of Stephen F. Austin maybe. Dan, how's your Thursday?
I do want to take a quick minute here. I know that mostly she is known for a show that many people would think is a direct competitor of ours. Who but that? She did say that she was a listener, though. Phyllis Chappell Perkins unfortunately passed away at the age of 74. Many of us knew her around these parts as Phyllis from Mulga. Of course, her direct love and huge love of the Alabama Crimson Tide over on the Feinbaum Show, but also to just obviously a huge fan of her team and just a very passionate person in general. Yeah. So condolences to the family of Phyllis Chappell Perkins. You know, Phyllis kind of fit into this category, and I think many of us around these parts fit into this category, and it especially seems to rear its ugly head this time of the year, and that is somebody said something very mean about your team. So, of course, immediately when that happens, it's everybody, look around. Let's grab the pitchforks. Let's grab the flames. Let's go to their house and let us absolutely let them know how we feel. In this case right now, it is former Ohio State receivers coach Zach Smith, who has a podcast. I've heard that he's had one for some time. I don't listen to it, and I don't think many of us do. But he has seemingly provided the rat poison, I guess in this case, the yummy rat poison, as we heard Nick Saban say a couple of years ago at the SEC championship game, in this case for Kirby Smart and for Georgia, of talking about how the decline is nigh and Kirby Smart is going to fall off and the Georgia program will not be the same. So, of course, when things like that are said, Georgia fans are immediately, you moron, you did this and all these other types of things. Those start to come out. And I get it. I appreciate that reaction because, Chuck, As me and you talk to each other on May the 11th, we can't have a show like this unless people actually care enough to listen to this time of the year, because outside of this part of the United States, most people look at us and say, why do you care about college football so much, even in May? Like, shouldn't that be basketball? Shouldn't that be baseball? Shouldn't that be everything else? No, the answer is because it's always college football. We're always doing these things. And the other thing as well, that Georgia fans in this specific example right here, I understand your reaction, and I'm fine with your reaction, because I do think it's a dumb take. Do be comforted in, though, what we talk about all the time, and you've made this mention before, the Peter King theory. That's Peter King theory. He's talking about something from a 1,000-foot view right here, where it's just be comforted. You know more about your team. You know how good this team can be, and you know what maybe their possible faults could be this year. So if it's not true, just go about your business. Don't waste your time.
Dan, doing a tremendous job as always. Appreciate the commentary. The Rolodex to the stars. David on the ones and twos doing what he do. Everybody listening, thank y'all for coming in here. Conversation, yeah, we'll start in 22 hours after we recharge the batteries. Be back with more college football talk this time tomorrow. Right here, Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.